Hello, America, and to our friends around the world. Welcome to the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us in this segment. And in this segment, we're going to tell you the four options that President Trump has to save the failing American economy. And it is failing catastrophically. From the housing bubble has burst. A lot of the stock market's going to go under. Not all of it. You know, the part that the rich and famous are in, they'll be okay. But there are so many different ways that we are failing. But number one is the erosion of the dollar. And that's because we've got nothing coming in. We can barely pay the interest on the debt. So we're going to get into the four options that Donald Trump has available to him. And then we're going to follow up in the second segment talking about probably the most productive thing he can do. But it's also the most long-range option, and in some ways, we need quick fixes, and we're already seeing that. Hey, we are brought to you by a tremendous sponsor, and I got to tell you, there's not many products, can't think of any other than this, that I would say save my life. But these products did. This is the starter pack, 15% off the Magic Dicol products, NanoSoma liquid spray, the NanoSoma gel, and the NanoSoma wrinkle cream. The three liquid sprays that you get with the starter pack for 15% off, that's what brought me back from strip lung linings. It's restorative, it's preventative, doesn't cure a thing. How does it work? It raises your immune system to unbelievable levels. And I'm better than I've been before. I mean, it's just tremendous. And thank you to all you nice people out there that say, Dave, you've like transformed yourself. Yeah, I got the start right here. Then when I was in the gym having muscle issues, okay, not muscle issues, joint issues, I should say, well, I started using the gel, and you grow pluripotent stem cells, and your bone on bone no longer is inflamed, and it begins to heal. And this is what it did for me. And then, of course, the wrinkle cream treats cuts and burns, and you saw how I handled my major cut on my index finger. Probably needed 4 to 6 stitches, didn't need to get any because I used the cream 2 weeks later, but gone, no scar, no fuss, no muss. And you remember that big old bandage I had on. These are great products. They can transform your life like they have mine. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Well, I want my country back. / the people who were against America first. And some of the America First people are not trustworthy. They say they're America First. They're themselves first, and they're for sale as a prostitute to the biggest pimps out there. And I'm talking foreign countries, corporations. We need to make sure that we're on the page with each other with America First. But I promised you that we would get into Donald Trump's four options to save the economy, and not all of them are effective. Okay, we'll start with that first one, and it's not effective. Spend less. We can cut wasteful spending. If we learned anything from DOGE, even though it didn't go far enough, it didn't last nearly long enough, it should be ongoing. It should be a permanent part of the government. What we did learn is there is waste, fraud, and abuse that we can cut out. In Minnesota, the whole government economy up there is waste, fraud, and abuse, Somali style. But we could do better, but here's the problem. You can't make wholesale cuts because now you have business cutbacks, you have layoffs, you have infrastructure that needs to go unmet. We already have a problem with that. That would make it catastrophically worse. Spending less is not a huge option. It can help you hold the line in terms of waste, fraud, and abuse, but going out and say, we're going to cut this much, 20% from every federal agency, you would have chaos in this country. It is not a good option other than the DOGE approach. Number two, you can earn more. Well, this can come with a price. Higher taxes on the people. You raise taxes on people, it's counterproductive because then think, well, if I get a raise here, I'll be in a higher tax bracket. And people that are taxed a lot stop being productive. They start working really hard. They're tired of working for the government, not keeping enough for themselves. So these earn more taxes, not so good. Tariffs, yes and no. In Trump's first term, he made businesses come back and onshore jobs from overseas by tariffing their products. And then the reward was 28% tax done by Obama, corporate down to 21%. And he even cut it more than that at times. So he used a carrot and stick approach using tariffs. He's trying to do the same thing now, but the nations that we're dealing with have gotten a little smarter. and they're ganging up on the United States, and the tariffs aren't working as well as we'd hope. But here was the deal. Tariffs have put money into the country and have saved jobs. Now you're saying, well, Dave, that causes us to pay more for products. You have to weigh job loss versus no tariffs and then flip it. And tariffs overall are effective as long as they're used in moderation. So he should be doing what he's doing. The other thing that you have to do is you can go to foreign countries and say, hey, invest in what we do here in America. You'll get a nice return. But in turn, we've attracted investment dollars that boosts the economy. And he has done a really good job with that with nations like Saudi Arabia. Trump has done a tremendous job of that. And he said these deals are not done. I think this is a really good approach. Now, is it a fix-all approach? No. But it certainly can help stem the loss. And attracting investment is a really good idea in terms of increasing your earnings as a nation. The third way is to have creative ways to raise money. Now, I'm not going to get into too much depth in this because that's going to be the focal point of our next segment, and I'm going to break that down in real detail. But what this basically is the government becomes an investment agent for itself. And there's upsides and there's downsides to this, and we're going to explore that in the next segment. Trump is right on the edge of doing this. Actually, he started doing it. It just hasn't been declared as a formal action yet. And there is an executive, there's was an executive order tied to this. And we'll cover that, like I said, in the next segment. So creative ways to raise money. And then your fourth way is good old fashioned Yankee imperialism. And we're so good at it. The Monroe Doctrine is probably where we started becoming imperialistic. And we're seeing a rollout of the Monroe Doctrine again with Venezuela. Listen, Venezuela doesn't send enough fentanyl to this country to be blowing ships out of the water. They don't send enough drugs into the country to be aggressively pursuing a regime change and a takeover. What this war is about, and let's make no mistake about it, it's about liberating Venezuelan oil because the American economy needs it. It's that simple. But what we have found is Russia and China to the rescue buying Venezuelan oil. I know a military intervention is coming. I just don't know what form it's going to take. I understand. I've been told this by insiders that the CIA, much like their Fidel Castro efforts, have tried to take out Maduro and has failed, and he's got doubles everywhere. So he's really hard to track and follow now. I can't say where this is going, but we are getting imperialistic. Let's make no mistake about it. But what Trump is doing is no different than what other presidents have done. And it's not okay. I do not like our approach in Venezuela right now. I think it's a landmine we're ready to step on. And I know various military experts like General Keane are saying the same thing I'm saying. We have great trepidation about this, but you can be imperialistic. You can conquer resources. You can use them in your own treasury. You can use them to boost your currency because right now we're fiat. The petrodollar is dying a very quick death, and we need something to come in to bolster the economy and strengthen the dollar. Well, meanwhile, the banking vultures are just waiting for the dollar to crash so they can institute digital and get us into that whole genre, which is really bad. So you almost have to ask yourself this question. Would you rather see boots on the ground in Venezuela with American casualties securing the oil, or would you rather have a failed economy? Some people are reducing it to that level. And I guarantee you in the Situation Room with the president and his staff, this is the discussion that they have had, and you can see how they have voted. So those are the four primary ways that we spend our time an effort as a nation trying to get more money into the economy and strengthen the economy. What is Trump doing? Well, he's doing the imperialism. He's doing, and stay tuned for this in the next segment, creative ways to raise money. He is trying to earn more by attracting especially foreign investments, and he's done a really admirable job of that. And spending less, well, Doge was kind of an effort to this, but we stopped, and we shouldn't have stopped. We should have continued. I will tell you one federal agency that should have been gutted to its core, and it has been, is the Federal Department of Education. Number one, it's unconstitutional. There's no provision for it in our Constitution. It doesn't belong there. And number two, they were a huge money waster. Number three, they didn't educate. They indoctrinated. This is a good thing that they're gone. And there were people that I've interviewed that have been high up in education that believes that the mission of the Department of Education was to dumb America down. I can't say that that's true, but let's put it this way. If that was their intention, it worked. So anyway, those are the four ways that President Trump, in terms of his options, can use to save this failing economy. And without major intervention, this economy is failing. You need to resign yourself to that it's going to be a situation to where you are absolutely going to have to make a decision on how you're going to survive individually. So I'm going to say this to you right here. Food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools, the Constitution, the Bible for the rebuild if it comes to that. Now, what is the most important thing to gather? Food. And there are food sales at My Patriot Supply, 25-year shelf life. I'd recommend you go over there and take a look. Right now, they're giving you 1 month free. It's a great special. Go to preparewithdave.com. That's preparewithdave.com and start getting yourself ready. Maybe Trump will save this economy, but the wise person right now is preparing for the rainy day. And it could be more than a rainy day. It could be a downpour. If you've not checked out our TV show, you should, the commonsenseshow.tv. And we're loading some shows on there as of this day. And we like to put them in mass and let people just come in and look at this at their own pleasure. But people love the show. It's unique. People say it's kind of like the old Art Bell show. Yeah, that's true. There are some similarities there, and I was a big fan of Art Bell. Oh, by the way, I was a secret guest one time. I'll tell that story at a later time. Yeah, I had to have a covert appearance because of what I was revealing, and it directly related to my employment. So I didn't want to be out of a job, so to speak, but I went on to Art and talked about the Phoenix Lights. Pretty interesting stuff. I'll tell that story another time. Meanwhile, come back for the next segment. Stay tuned, because we're going to talk about something called the Sovereign Wealth Fund and an executive order. And this is maybe the boldest thing an American president has ever done economically, or at least it's comparable to FDR's New Deal legislation in response to the Depression. Dave Hodges here. We'll see you back in the next segment. We're going to call this Trump's secret weapon. But it's not really that secret because it's been publicly declared. It's been acted on, but not enacted. And you're saying that sounds confusing. We're going to break it down for you right here on the Common Sense Show. If Trump is successful, he will go down as the third greatest president in American history. And who's he behind? Well, Washington and Lincoln. Washington got the country going. Lincoln saved the country. Trump will do the same thing here. It's an all or nothing high stakes poker game that Trump is playing. I think he has a really good chance to be successful. I truly do. The problem is will he have enough time to enact it? And it's funny, the Democrats want you to fail. They want you to starve. They want you to be broke. They want you to lose your home. They're working against everything he's doing, and now they're talking impeachment. It's just crazy. Rather than realizing, hey, our entire country is at risk, let's agree on some things and go forward. And this is something I think all of us can agree on. I agree with this, but there are downsides to Trump's plan. Okay, now I've teased it. We're going to talk about it. I just want to say here very quickly that we are brought to you by, well, a great, great product here. And people said, Dave, if you could recommend one thing for people's health, what would it be? It would be the, and I'll pick up the right bottle here, the NanoSoma spray. It boosts the immune system with all kinds of great properties. This is proven, it's restorative, it's preventative, but it doesn't cure anything, but it allows your immune system to grow exponentially. It worked for me, it saved my life. I get testimonials every single day on this. This is a tremendous product, and you can get it right now by going to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Okay, we're going to call this, for reference purposes, Executive Order 14196. And you said, I don't think I've ever heard of that. Well, I agree with you. You probably haven't heard of it, but it is in the executive order folder, and you can look it up and you can read it. And it's called the Sovereign Wealth Fund. Now, in the intro, I said, It hasn't been enacted. That's right. Formally, there hasn't been a sovereign wealth fund introduced called that. But there are practices around the sovereign wealth fund that are in effect right now as we speak. And it's just getting started. Now, what exactly is a sovereign wealth fund? A sovereign wealth fund means that the government takes revenue. Let's say that we get $1 billion from Saudi Arabia. We earmark 80% of it to go into investments. That's right. You're saying, wait a minute, the government's going to go into the stock market? This is what the sovereign wealth fund is. Now, you say, well, Dave, you just said the stock market is in trouble. I said it was in trouble, except for a few areas. And what are those areas here? Well, I've listed them out right here, and I'll go through them with you here. Fossil fuels, big, 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 big. I hate the term fossil fuels because it didn't come from fossils. But nonetheless, it is petroleum-based energy, and green energy is on the way out in terms of investment. But I'd say solar is still right there. Okay, so that is the one green energy right now that will thrive under Trump. But there are some other things that they're looking at here, too. They're looking at chips, high-tech investment, artificial intelligence. And if I were to give you stock market advice, and I'm not qualified to do that, but I'm just saying in my mind, what I'm going to do and what I am doing is it's called the Nancy Pelosi watch. She gets to engage in what should be illegal insider trading, made legal just for Congress only. You and I go to prison. And she's made, what is it, estimated $750 million on these practices. And so there's actually something called the Nancy Pelosi watch, insider watch. And people watch what she does, and they do what she does, and they're doing pretty well with it. Well, the government will occupy the same status. The government will invest. They'll do well. They'll attract other investors along with them because, hey, it's the government. Now, the downside is if they pick a bad stock, just like any other broker or company, you know, the taxpayers are going to pick up the loss. But what you hope to do is like my friend Bob Kudla in Trade Genius, where Bob wins over 2 out of 3 trades. He doesn't win every trade, but he wins 2 out of 3 trades with his algorithm. And we're actually going to do an interview with Bob later this month, so I'm not going to go down that road right now. You're not going to win every trade, but you want to win the majority of your trades and at such a level that you're getting a high rate of return on your money. Going into T-bills right now, that's ridiculous. But if you raise the income level of the country, all of a sudden, your treasury bills are now a good investment, and this is where a lot of the money will go. You're saying, oh, that could help save the dollar. I won't put the word save on it yet. I'll say this. It could slow down the bleeding, maybe stop it, and perhaps even reverse it. But we're looking at the high-tech stocks. That is absolutely huge. Chips and rare earth minerals. And I really like the rare earth mineral approach. You may hear an interview that I did a few months ago with an owner of a rare earth mineral company. And he said, China's 10 years ahead of us, Dave. Well, this could begin to close that gap. And you need rare earth minerals because they're in everything. Your TVs, your computers, your cell phones. I mean, we would really be in trouble if China cut off rare earth minerals. Now, we just signed a deal with Australia designed to get some of it here, but we'd like to have control of it here in this country. And this would be investment capital that could be raised. And the biggest rare earth mineral patch in the world is in Nevada, just waiting to be fully developed. And this is a really win-win deal for everybody. Now, could you invest along with the government? The answer is yes. So you're saying, well, Dave, you also said in the intro there was a downside to this. Yeah, there is. Number one, the government has the biggest budget of our entire economy. It's the biggest employer, but you get the idea. That takes us in the direction of socialism. This, if the government becomes the major economic player in the stock market, you might have a case to make a statement that this is de facto socialism. How much power is the government going to have, and what will happen to individual liberties? And I think this is a legitimate concern. And I think it's one that we need to insist that if our leaders are going to go through with this sovereign wealth fund in which they're already investing, it's just not declared to be a sovereign wealth fund yet. That's what I mean, like they're acting upon it, but they haven't enacted it. But we need to make sure we have the guardrails on this so government power against our liberties doesn't grow exponentially. We've already not lost enough ground. We want to make sure that we don't lose any more. So you're saying, well, at the end of the day, Dave, are you in favor of this? And I would have to say, short answer is yes, but, and I just gave you my but. Tell me what you think. Do you think this is a good idea? The Sovereign Wealth Fund Executive Order 14196? I'd vote for it. How about you? And if you think Dave's really full of it here, well, then let me know. Tell me where I'm falling short. If you agree with me, when the government becomes more public about this and they enact the Sovereign Wealth Fund, will you invest along with them? Let me know all that in the comment section. Make sure that you send me your updates as you always do, and make sure that you sign up for our newsletter at thecommonsenseshow.com. Click on the newsletter link in the upper right-hand corner. Put in your email. That's all we need, and we don't sell your data, and you'll get everything we do over the course of a 24-hour period sent right to you in one email. It's convenient. Over 50,000 people doing it, and best of all, it's free. See you back here next time. Hello, America, and to my friends around the world, welcome to the Common Sense Show. We are the show freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. And in this segment, we're going to describe for you an offshoot, a bastardization of Thomas Jefferson's quote about every 20 years. We have a very dire prediction. I do think there is something that can be done to reverse it, but not with the course that we're on right now. And by the way, this has almost nothing to do with national defense, with the economy. I think this is going to surprise you, and it's something that's right up my alley, and I know all too well. We have a great sponsor here, and I just want to say this to you. Do you think that the cost of health care is an issue? Yeah, do bears go to the bathroom in the woods? I mean, what a stupid question. I agree. How about if I gave you a much less expensive alternative with more effective results? We have from Magic Dicol, the NanoSoma products. We have the liquid spray, which brought me back from death's doorstep with strip lung linings. Didn't cure it, but it's restorative and preventative because it raises your immune system levels to unbelievable heights. And I'm doing things now I haven't done in 25 years. But we also have the gel that you can rub on your joints, where you may have bone on bone, like I did. And notice my use of the past tense. I did. Last night did very strenuous farmer's walk. Oh, I feel it in my butt and my hips, my thighs, my shoulders, but I don't feel it in my joints because this grows pluripotent stem cells, and it's a process that takes time. It took me about 8 weeks before I said, this has really worked. I noticed improvement in about a week, but at the 8 week mark, unbelievable. And then there's the NanoSoma skin cream, which is good for fine lines and wrinkles. And also, you saw it treat my cut where I needed stitches and didn't get them. And today, I'm as good as new. Together, this is the starter pack. It's 15% off. It's a much cheaper alternative. It's preventative, but it's also restorative. These three products work in tandem with each other. And I wouldn't probably be here today without the liquid spray. I wouldn't have the quality of life I have without the other two products. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Well, we have a major issue, but I'm going to harken back to Thomas Jefferson. It's interesting how people rank his presidency so high. He wasn't that great a president, but he was one heck of a statesman. Wrote the Declaration, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, just on and on and on with this guy. And he made a quote that stuck with me. He said, we need a revolution about every 20 years. I mean, he thought that was how long it took for the oligarchs. He didn't call them that. He called them the aristocratic people. But today we'd call them the oligarchs, where they accumulate enough wealth and power and they take over and make everyone else's life miserable. We're going to bastardize that quote and apply it to public education. It's not that administrators aren't skilled and can't lead. It's not that teachers can't teach. The system is wholly broken, and I do mean broken. I'm going to give you a few stats here. 40% of third graders across the nation can't read at grade level. I guess maybe that's good news because 60% of sixth graders fall into the same category. Here's where it gets very concerning. 75% of high school seniors surveyed could not add up a menu ticket with six food items on it. That is about as basic math as you get. Now, we hit a low in 2005. Well, thank you for No Child Left Without a Behind, George Bush. Your program stunk. Your presidency stunk. You took away our civil liberties, but you should be known for wrecking public education. But in 2015, it started to come back. And we started to see a few high water marks where some of these negative numbers dissipated somewhat. But I just read to you the current numbers in 2025. What's happened? And I'll tell you what's happened. We can call it social engineering, and people say, was that a conspiracy theory? Well, yes. Is it accurate? Yes. You have to understand that the corporates have already realized a long time ago they don't need you. They really don't want you. They're Fabian socialists because their economic survival depends on it. And they believe, according to J Herbert Spencer, their founder, when he said very famously, and this is one of the pillars of sociology, by the way, one of the five pillars. Spencer said, if people don't put more into society than they take out, then they should be done away with. And he was that literal about it. There is no misunderstanding about what he's saying. Be useful or the worst will happen to you. And this is what he advocated for. Well, we are headed towards the total elimination of many careers, maybe most careers, perhaps all careers. And for a while, to pacify the people, the other side will have no choice but to institute universal basic income to pay you to do nothing because there's nothing you can do as well as an AI robot. But how long do you think these people that are profit-driven are going to do this? And this is why I believe our education system has been set up to fail. We have bureaucratic overloads. Principals don't get out into the classrooms like they should and help their teachers become better teachers because they've got paperwork piled up to their ears. Teachers now have administrative duties they didn't have 10, 15, 20 years ago. They go to endless meetings. When do they have time to grade or lesson plan? Well, if you want to spend an 80-hour week, oh, maybe that's why 20% of all teachers quit in the first 5 years. And that number is projected the next 5 years to go to 50%. People are quitting education in droves, and sometimes they're quitting in the middle of the year or even before they get to the middle of the year. Why? Because the system has become one that can't self-sustain. We wrecked a lot of it by locking kids out of schools during the pandemic, and education took a nosedive after that. We went woke rather than the three R's. And maybe this is why 75% of high school seniors can't add up a six-item menu. We lost our vision. When you look at places like Loudoun County, Virginia, where so many of their school board meetings that are almost like an MMA fight, why they're being broadcast to the world. And you know what we see? Our school board members, they don't care about math. They don't care about science. They don't care about English or conjugating verbs. They don't care about any of that. They care about a woke agenda being forced down the throat of kids, and let's do it without telling the parents. And people say, Dave, what is the biggest reason for decline in education? Getting away from the three R's, purposely leaving the parents out of the equation, making the job untenable, not fun, locking teachers into a day-by-day, word-for-word curriculum where their creativity and imagination and ability to excite students and wanting to learn, it's drilled out of them by extreme conformity. Oh, by the way, the teachers watching this right now are clapping their hands over their heads because I can say what they can't say without fear of retaliation. But take heart, within 5 years, you people clapping will be out of the profession. And we're hiring people now to teach basic classes like English and science that don't even have a degree. They never went through teacher training. Oh, well, you can get qualified experts. Well, I've seen some of the qualified experts, and they ain't too qualified. Now, I believe this is social engineering. No one could be this stupid with public schools and have these catastrophic of results without there being some intention behind it. Now, you could go down a wrong path for a short time, but we're looking at a strong decade of just plummeting performance. Now, you know what's interesting? We used to think of the poor South. Y'all can't conjugate your verbs now, can y'all? Well, you know what's happening in the South? They're kicking the living shit out of people in Massachusetts and New Jersey and Connecticut that we thought was the bastion of education, because education has been replaced by indoctrination. But in the South, they're still making kids conform to test scores. Grades mean something. There's not grade inflation like there is in the leftist blue liberal cities reflected in their school boards. This is why we have a problem. We went woke, and now our kids are intellectually broke. Now, how long can a nation survive with 75% of its high school seniors can't add up six items on a menu? Who's going to take the good jobs? Oh, wait a minute. You just said, Dave, there may not be many jobs, if any. I did. Read between the lines. What do you think is going on here? I'm an experienced educator. I've taught everything from ninth grade to postgraduate in college. I've seen the full gamut. I have a real good idea about what works and doesn't work. And the BS that teachers are being made to do today that have nothing to do with student learning, nothing to do with the three R's. We have entire districts, for example, abandoning getting kids college ready. Well, not everyone should go to college, but they're doing it as a district. And you're saying, well, what about the kids who are intellectually gifted enough and need to go to college to fulfill their occupational desires? They're SOL, baby. In those kinds of districts, they're SOL. We're not meeting needs anywhere. And we cater to the bottom up. Oh, yes, we should give special attention to kids who need it. But it's become the preoccupation and the attention we give our gifted and talented. What's that? Exactly. Honors classes are being de-emphasized in blue liberal cities. Why? Oh, because it creates a stigma that other kids don't think they can live up to. Maybe it could inspire them to reach higher. Education's broke, but it's not just education and kids having a diminished future. I'm talking about the fact that this is a national security issue. Kids aren't graduating with the idea that they have to have discipline and dedication to what they're doing. Imagine that. This is national security stuff. It's economic security stuff. But maybe it's a battle we're going to lose anyway because of the preoccupation with AI. Tell me what you think. Are you seeing it in your own kids? Well, we're seeing degradation from one generation to the other, not just in education. In the next segment, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about degradation with the economy in a way that's not being portrayed accurately. And you're going to get the real story right here on The Common Sense Show. I'm Dave Hodges, and this is The Common Sense Show. Thank you for joining us. Big Pharma is implementing what I think is a monumental ripoff, and we're getting no help. I'll address that in a moment. They've done it before, and they got away with it. And it's something they're doing that is not scientific, it's unethical, and they're going to make billions of dollars off of it out of your pocket. And we're here to tell you about it on The Common Sense Show. My name's Dave Hodges. I'm the host. Welcome to the show that is Freeing America, One Enslaved Mind at a Time. And in this segment, we're going to talk to you about how badly we're being ripped off by Big Pharma. But there is an answer. We can bypass a lot of Big Pharma by using more natural products. And this is why I love the products at Bodyline. I use two of the four. The energy band, don't wear it to bed. And also I use the patch on the back of the phone that blocks EMF. I don't want to die of glioblastoma. They also have the pain patch, and they have the sleep patch. Fortunately, I don't need those two, but if I did, I'd use it. This is all based on frequency intervention, which is the rage in all of healthcare today. And it's something that Big Pharma doesn't want to explore because they're not making money on it. So they try to direct doctors away from this. Well, you have a choice, and the research is solid. All you got to do to become a part of this with a 30-day money-back guarantee, great sales, go to BodyAlign, A-L-I-G-N, BodyAlign.com/Dave Hodges, BodyAlign.com/Dave Hodges. Well, it's something I had a discussion with a nurse that I know, and I told him, I said, you know what's happening with the new blood pressure stuff? And he goes, "Yeah, I know." And I said, "Do you know, it's just like what they did with diabetes. They started diagnosing diabetes at a much lower level from 120 to 100. Well, that creates a whole new brand of customers that need insulin or metformin or some other product that in previous generation they didn't need." And they say, "Well, the research shows." Well, I looked for the research. I couldn't find anything specifically that was not funded by Big Pharma that said what they claimed was the truth. The key is you don't read someone's research if they're researching themselves. It's like handing prisoners the key to the prison. Okay? And I could not find anything. They did it with diabetes, and now they're preparing to do it with blood pressure. You're not going to believe the standards they have. Now, by the way, I'll give you this matter of disclaimer. I'm doing pretty well because I'm really active and I'm not taking medication for it. But my blood pressure, the last time I got it taken was 110 over 67. That's teenage blood pressure. That's median range for a high school senior. I'm lucky. I'm not doing anything great. I mean, I do try to take care of myself, but I'm not bragging. I'm just saying that I was just a cat's hair away from needing medication according to the new guidelines coming in next year. If I was 111 over 70, I would be eligible under insurance regulations, for blood pressure remediation. Really, you're saying to me, Dave, that if I'm a senior citizen and I'm over 65 and I'm, say, 115 on the upper measurement, that's really good? No. And by the way, the 110 is standard throughout the lifespan. This is such horse crap. It's unbelievable. Because if you go back and look on the internet, you'll find all these age-related norms. And they give you a range according to the age. And they can even break it down by body weight. We've done studies on gender and race. And we have a really good idea, but they want to have a one-size-fits-all. So when I go to the doctor, I have to walk, well, I could take the elevator, but I walk up the steps. And so I run the risk just because I've done that. If they take me in right away, my heart rate may not have recovered. When I'm walking up those three flights of stairs, I might get up to about a 115, 125 measure, and it may not be all the way back down when they slap that thing on my arm. "Oh, you got high blood pressure here. Oh boy, this is really a problem." Listen, Big Pharma is in the business of making money. They've made a subtle change, hardly anyone notices. So I did talk to my I did talk to a nurse, and he acknowledged. He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "We've talked about it as a staff. We think it's absurd." I said, "It's about making money." He goes, "I know." And I said, "Eventually, the insurance companies are going to rank doctors on their conformity to these policies, and that will determine whether or not they get clients." Because he thought the doctors could ignore it. And I says, "Oh no, not for long. In a 2-year window, all these doctors will be conforming if they want maximum patient loads." This is a huge ripoff, people. And here's where I'm going to lay the blame. If you follow me for a length of time, I was 110% in RFK Jr.'s camp. Bobby, where are you? Where are you? You didn't usher in the diabetic readings that got changed, but you should have rolled them back. You're not doing anything that I can see to stop this fraud from being perpetrated upon the American people. We got decades of research that says that 110 isn't necessarily your danger point of jump off. You need medication. Where are you, Bobby? Ladies and gentlemen, I think we need to remind him of his duty. Contact him. Publish something like I am. This is a ripoff. Now, I suppose you could take your medication home and not take it, but then you're still having to pay for it. And if you don't, they'll call you against medical advice, AMA, and they could stop treating you. You can have your insurance benefits suspended. They got you by the you know what until we stand up and do something about it. Big Pharma is the enemy of the American people. My name is Dave Hodges. This is The Common Sense Show.
Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really good to be with you. And I'll tell you, the prospects of Trump's presidency and what he could accomplish if he goes unabated are phenomenal. We could have the terrific golden age of America, and it would be absolutely fantastic. But there are many obstacles. We've already covered a couple of the man-made ones here today. One is Biden's administration's trying to start World War III with Putin, and there's no question it's serious. Number two, Bill Gates goes on late night TV and brags about another pandemic coming, and Fauci echoes the same thing, and so does Klaus Schwab. Now, those are two primary ways that they're going to basically prevent the transition of power. But there's a third that can happen, and it's much more devastating than the first two, and we can't blame the globalists for this. This is a naturally occurring, repeating problem with the Earth itself. And this is the kind of topic, too, and I want to mention this. We're going to make this available to everybody. Normally, we'd put a show like this. It's called HIPS, Hiding in Plain Sight. We would put something like this on our subscription service, at thecommonsenseshow.tv, dirt cheap. And we have exclusive content there. We also have a lot of our geopolitical stuff we store there as well, too. So you get the added bonus of one-stop shopping. But I wanted to share this one with everybody to show you the kind of thing that we'll cover there. Many times we do this with an expert guest, but this is something I know a fair amount about. And we're going to get into it right here on the Common Sense Show. We're brought to you by Noble Gold, and Noble Gold can save your retirement. They can save your bank account, and the bankers can take it. Dodd-Frank 2010, gold's appreciating like crazy. This is the right place to be. Now, what can they do with your retirement? Take it out of the bank. You own it. Back it with gold. And they can't touch it. The globalists will never get it. It's fantastic. And I have to give you a warning. There are no guarantees, and the Federal Trade Commission wants me to remind you of that, and past performance can't be construed with future expectation. They should give that warning that the banks are in bad shape and they can steal your money. So how do you get around all this and protect yourself, preserve your nest egg? All you got to do is go to DaveHodgesGold.com. That's DaveHodgesGold.com. And then you can look at the material, a little more detail, what I'm giving you here. And then you can call 877-646-5347. 877-646-5347. We are overdue for a pole shift. And I'm not sure where biblical history starts. I know in the very Genesis 1, it's the creation of the universe. That is the beginning. But as you move forward, it's like we kind of move forward in time in Genesis. And we start with the creation of Earth, and there was the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, and here came Satan and his fallen angels, and Satan tempted Eve. You know? But the Bible is pretty clear. We're headed for some dark days. But I think the phenomenon we're talking about here is older than Adam and Eve. I think they're pre-Adamic societies. Now, it's my opinion, and I don't find it to be in contrast with biblical scripture. If I did, I would not believe it. But I think it's something we should consider because the archaeological evidence for what I'm going to tell you is overwhelming, and there's a clear and present danger. And the present danger could be immediate, could be 100 years, could be 10 years, could be tomorrow. This is serious stuff. We are looking at weather phenomena right now that is causing a slight pole shift. The poles are shifting now 49 feet per year. Did you know that? They can't have to keep redrawing. We used to redo the GPS every 5 years and every year, and now it's basically every other week. And it's because we've got this massive shift going on, a pole shift. Now, the fake climate change people try to say, look at the melting ice caps, CO2, blah, blah, blah. And that's not it. It's the natural evolution of a planet going through a shift, and we're seeing the beginning, and true north has changed. That means old true north is experiencing more melting because of warmer temperatures, but new true north is cold and new glaciers are forming. It's that simple. It's not have anything to do with flying airplanes or driving your car to work. It's the biggest load of crap ever. It's all about taking your resources. It's all about taking your rights and controlling you completely. But there is an existential threat to humanity. Let's just talk about continents shifting. There's the slow drift notion, and you could look at a map and you could see South America and Africa, and it looks like, gee, they kind of look like they belonged together at one time. That's correct. They did. And over millions of years, they slowly separated. That's continental drift. But there's another form of continental shift that is dramatic, and it's devastating, and it's now accepted. And this really started to gain acceptance in 1988 when a woolly mammoth, a series of them, were found in Siberia. That's right, woolly mammoth, Siberia, and they were encased in ice. They were frozen instantly, and some of the food they were eating was still undigested in their stomach, which means what happened to them and moved them from one continent dramatically to another in a different climatic zone happened in under 15 or 20 minutes at the most because of the undigested vegetation. And what we have learned now from thermal imaging of the Earth from space, Earth-penetrating tomography, Project HARP that can see 2 miles down into the Earth. They made that to look for tunnels originally, but now they're using it to analyze the phenomenon I'm talking about. And what we are seeing is that the Earth is shifting. And the woolly mammoth discovery was proof that this has happened before. Besides the measurable shift of the North Pole, 49 feet a year now, and it's going to increase exponentially, the tsunami of 2004 produced a minute pole shift. Nothing that you should lose sleep over in 2005, but it is happening. And there are other major weather phenomena, like an earthquake in Chile, shifted the pole a little bit too. The Earth is undergoing some problems. And the more shifting that we get, this is really bad because you may have read we're entering into a period of high solar activity from the sun. Well, we're largely protected by our magnetosphere. But if the poles shift too much, the magnetosphere weakens. Cancer rates will skyrocket from these solar events. Mental illness will increase because there'll be chemical imbalances caused by this. You might literally say the whole world is going to go insane. Hey, look, I talk to people right now in the field of therapy, and I haven't done that work for quite some time. But they tell me that mental illness is off the charts, much bigger than what the government is admitting to. They said, we can just tell by the sheer volume. And who's coming to us from service? They're getting a brand new type of set of clients. And it's because we're weakening the magnetosphere and we're not causing it. It's happening naturally. The Earth spins and eventually it turns and north becomes south and south becomes north. Now, there comes a time when the ice caps are going to anchor the Earth. And as the pole shift happens, the Earth stops spinning. We're spinning at 1,037 miles an hour. That's how fast you're driving in a car. Can you imagine if the rotation of the Earth stopped and you're driving in a car down the highway? You would go from 70 miles an hour to 1,037 miles per hour. You would have massive earthquakes across the continents. And then you'd start to see continents shift, pulling apart, crashing together. Oh, and you'd have woolly mammoths going from tropical zones to Arctic zones. And you're saying, my gosh, this has happened before, hasn't it? Yeah, stay tuned. One part of the mantle, the crust, goes slowly in rotation. That's South America and Africa drifting apart. One part is like, and the second part is like being on roller skates. And that shift initiates that second shift to take place. And you get massive changes. Let me give you some details about what you might see. What you will see, if you're lucky, 1,000-foot wall of water. Did you hear what I just said? 1,000-foot wall of water. Some people have said it's 10,000 feet. If it's 1,000 feet, like this guy who was a, he claimed to have seen the future, David Michael Scallion. I usually dismiss things like this, but he was accurate in some of the things he said. And I thought, well, maybe he is seeing into the future. I don't know. I can't evaluate that. But he went on to say that we're going to have a 1,300 wall of water resulting from a pole shift. And it's going to reach from the West Coast as far as Payson, Arizona. Goodbye, Phoenix. And it will be moving at breakneck speed. And it will gather debris of all types and just smash everything. And it's, the loss of life is incredible. Some people say it's 10,000. So you'd have the same thing coming in from the East Coast. Europe would be totally underwater. Most of America would be underwater. And the ones who die early are fortunate. It's kind of like a nuclear explosion. Do you want to die now and instantly? Or do you want to die in 2 weeks from leukemia? The analogy fits, but it's more than this. This has happened before. We have living proof of one. It was actually called Mu, M-U, and it was a huge continent in the Pacific. It reached down to Easter Island all the way up to the Hawaiian Islands. And by the way, Easter Island's really interesting. You've seen those heads popping out of the sand. Well, below are the bodies. So the question is, did they build the bodies and then fill them in up to the head? Or did something happen and cover up to the head? I think it's the latter. In Easter Island, and where'd the 15,000 people go that used to live there? That's interesting. It was one big landmass. And on the eastern, the western side of that landmass approaching Japan is called Yanaguni. It's an underwater city that has been discovered. In archaeologically and what we look at, a lot of people in archaeology think it's linked to the so-called mythical continent of Yu that preceded the destruction of the mythical continent of Atlantis that Plato even talked about in his writings. So this has happened before. Some people think it's happened six times. The Hopis have a prophecy that says that we're in the fifth world, and this is the fifth and final world. Could this be what it means in the book of Revelation when it says if Jesus did not return for the second time, no flesh would be left alive? Doesn't say nuclear war would happen and Jesus saves us from that. Doesn't say Bill Gates' plandemic happens and Jesus saves us from that. It could be this. There was a video, I have it somewhere in my archives, and I'd have to really hunt. And it may not even be playable anymore because this was in 1997. The late Bill Pollack, who was my mentor in this business, invited myself and some astronauts and scientists and so forth to attend seminar. My topic they wanted me to talk about was what I had learned, you know, from my father's revelations in his days of reverse engineering, Nazi theoretical physics. I thought my topic compared to the others was way, 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 way down on that totem pole. I didn't think my topic was nearly as important as the stuff I heard. And this was discussed, and there was actually an NBC pilot show made with Charlton Heston narrating it. And the subject? A pole shift. And I'm thinking, my goodness gracious, could all these things relate? They talked about the mental illness. And then one day the break comes. Enough of a shift has happened. The ice caps anchor the land. The rotation of 1,000 miles an hour stops. And then all hell breaks loose. Most of the planet's destroyed. A few survivors in high mountainous regions, probably fairly close to the equator, and they start over in Stone Age conditions. Interesting. Do I think this is true? I think the likelihood is pretty darn good. Do I know it's going to happen in our lifetime? No, I don't. We are overdue according to the archaeological tables. We're way overdue. But it doesn't mean that the rest of us won't live out our natural lives. It'll happen a generation, five generations from now. But I'm saying we're in the danger zone where we're overdue and it could happen at any time. The globalists would get their wish. America would be flattened, but so would the rest of the world. It's disturbing to hear this. It's supported a lot by the archaeological record. There was a good book written by a guy named Felix, not by fire, but by ice. And he said that when these catastrophes happen, the temperature is going to drop dramatically. Now we have new data. And actually, we see this in a book written by a guy named Hapgood, now deceased. And when this shift happens, the planet will be frozen in place. One side will be really hot, the other side will be freezing cold, but disaster will be happening on both sides. You'll either bake or you'll freeze. The freezing will take place very quickly. Aha, woolly mammoth, Africa to Siberia, digestion frozen in its stomach for thousands of years. This is one of the dangers we face. Is there anything we can do about it? Well, you can pray. You can pray for an outcome that this is going to be down the road and me and mine and my kids and grandkids will never have to deal with it. Pray for that. Pray for divine intervention to stop it, although I don't think it's going to happen. This is the natural order of things. And other than that, move to the Himalayas if you can survive. It's pretty scary stuff, but I wanted to give you an example of the kind of thing that we'll explore in Hiding in Plain Sight. This evidence is readily available about pole shifts. Ask yourself, why isn't the mainstream media talking about it? Because if we paid attention to this, the I'll rob you blind climate change policies coming out of sustainable developmental goals, no one would pay attention to it. They want to know about the threat. They don't want to know about how they're going to be ripped off on some mythical science notion called climate change. Interesting times we live in. Thanks for joining us. Hey, check us out at thecommonsenseshow.tv. This will be over there. It's an example of what we do, but also this is something that you're eventually going to have to go and sign up for. And our TV show is working to produce more original content along these lines. Thank you so much for joining us.